Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's episode had me glued to the screen the entire time from this runner's story. 13 months ago, this runner was plagued by addiction and was at the lowest point in his life where he had started thinking that life was no longer worth living. He thankfully reached a point where he found resources to recovery and along the way found that movement could be something that he could direct his energy into rather than putting it towards something harmful. From there, it was a whirlwind of races and experiences where he kept proving to himself that he could do hard things and that life was worth sticking around for. Now he has the goal of sharing his story with others and hope that they can find their way out of the darkness just like he did. Obviously, a bit of a trigger warning. If you're sensitive to topics of addiction, feel free to skip this week's episode. But otherwise, let's go ahead and jump right into this amazing story. Please welcome Brad. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. I'm really excited to get to know you and get to know your story. How you doing?
Great, great, Taylor. Thanks for having me. I'm super grateful to be here today with you for sure. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. Of course, of course. Well, cool. Well, like we do on every episode, I'd love to just kind of hear from the beginning. How did we get introduced to movement / running in the first place?
Yeah. So that's definitely a story into itself. That's for sure. I just found running a little over 13 months ago. Obviously, I ran before. You had other guests on the podcast. You know, I grew up playing sports. My mom was a really good athlete growing up, so she instilled at a young age that my sister and I play sports, so we played sports year round. So grew up playing, you know, the big sports, football, baseball, soccer, all that kind of stuff. But running was, you know, more of just the punishment in those sports. It wasn't like something I ever wanted to do. So I played sports, you know, throughout high school. And then, after high school, I went into the military. So served a few years in the military. And, you know, obviously being in the military, physical fitness, physical, you know, readiness is key. You know, so we did divisional PT, but, you know, mostly the highest mileage we ever got was like that mile and a half, 2 mile mark, you know. And then on deployment, I was in the Navy. So on deployment, we worked out a lot. And, you know, I'd go down and run on the treadmill. Now, looking back, I realized I was probably logging some good miles, but I was like just trying to kill an hour. So I was like,
sure,
I'd go down there and zone out and just like, oh, yeah. And so I always kind of ran, but obviously, the past few decades after that, as you know, my Instagram handle and my YouTube channel is Sober Dad Runs. So I really got into running about 13 months ago when I started my journey into sobriety after just decades of alcohol abuse and substance abuse. I found the rooms of recovery, and one thing they recommended was to be active. And a little bit before I officially got sober, before I was trying to get sober on my own without proper help and, you know, the proper rooms recovery and therapy and stuff like that, I Googled like how not to drink, and they were like, oh, work out. So I briefly started working out, and I always had periods of trying to work out before. So I was kind of walking before I really started running, but I really started running about 13 months ago on my journey. And, you know, I went out for a walk. And that eventually turned into a jog that turned into, you know, where I'm at today. So it kind of took off from there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's always I always say there's with running, it's you either find yourself kind of falling into it because of like where you're at in life, or there's something that pushes you into it. And it sounds like there was something that kind of pushed you into this. What do you feel like was that, besides kind of, getting some advice from this group that you were seeking out and these resources you were seeking out, what was like that moment for you where you were like, okay, I'm going to keep pursuing running. This is helping me in this way.
Yeah. So I think the big thing, and it's been said on your podcast and most running podcasts, was obviously I was newly sober and kind of in the haze of coming out of decades, like battling, you know, alcoholism and addiction. And I didn't really know where to go. And somebody was like, hey, you should read David Goggins' book. As soon as I heard Goggins, I related to his story, obviously not being a Navy SEAL, but I, you know, a lot of his challenges. And he was just like, hey, you know, do hard things. And of course, you know, on the audiobook, it's kind of like a podcast, kind of like this. So he broke into it, and, you know, he's like, you know, everyone says they're going to do this, but they never do it. So just sign up, just go do it. And, so that's what kind of guided me into like running more, but hearing him do these ultras, and then that just opened up. You know, once I really started getting into running, like I, you know, Googled you know, oh, big runners, sober runners. And that led me down the path to like guys like Rich Roll. And then that just opened up, you know, into the world, you know, the running space, the running community. But yeah, it was definitely Goggins, the Goggins effect. And like I said, it started out as a walk. And I basically was just like, hey, like I can keep walking. And then I quote unquote started power hiking. So I was trying to walk faster. And then, you know, obviously just after decades of substance abuse and alcoholism, I mean, I was really out of shape and really overweight. So, you know, I started small, and then, you know, I didn't have like all the fancy running equipment and stuff I have now. And, you know, I didn't even have nice shoes. I used like a pair of beat up ASICS sneakers, and, you know, I didn't have a nice watch. So I would just get online and like Google, use Track My Run and like drop the pin and then map a course. And I was like, oh, I can do a mile. So, you know, I went from my house and I started walk running a mile, and then, you know, it just kicked off from there. But it was definitely the Goggins effect for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people fall into that Goggins trap for sure. Yeah. A good guy that goes hand in hand with running. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, cool. And then you mentioned that there were some other sober runners that you were kind of seeking out or starting to find as you found your way into your own running journey. What was it like finding people that had kind of gone through the same experience as you that do the thing that you were starting to kind of fall in love with at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, Goggins went on with Rich Roll, and then, you know, somebody was like, hey, Rich Roll is, you know, he's been sober for decades now, and he's this crazy ultra runner. And then I was like, okay. And then, yeah. And then I found guys like Mitch Ammons, and just, you know, there's so many, you know, basically guys that had been through it. And the correlation without a doubt was, oh, you're fighting sobriety. You can easily go run a mile, but, you know, you've already doing a really hard thing. Like, we can continue doing these hard things together. So yeah, I mean, that community is insane, but it was definitely pretty big on me finding guys like Rich Roll, and it just inspired, you know, kept going from there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's so important to have like representation of what your why is, or whatever your motivation is to running. I think it's so important to have people like that in the space that are doing it as well, so you can kind of relate to them and have people that aren't just the, you know, I don't want to say unrealistic, but maybe unrealistic runners out there that have these huge goals and have these huge PRs and things like that. I think it's just important to have people that are, you know, kind of on the same life track as you.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Rich Roll and those kind of, you know, ultra runners that I got into. I mean, obviously, you know, I got into starting at a 5K and got to a crazy race within the past year. But
yeah,
you know, yeah, that whole running side of it with the really jacked influencers that are running like 6 minute miles, I was like, that's not for me. And obviously we'll talk about training. And that's definitely not how I train. But finding definitely that connection, and, you know, definitely like podcasts like this. That's why I love your podcast and jumped on. And then like the Unrealistic Runner and like everyone you have on the board. It's just like, it's great seeing people that are like, hey, like, I like the fact too, like, we're normal people. Obviously we're all going through different stages of life and different hard things. And yeah, I happen to be sober, but like, I know next weekend I'm not going to go run 6 minute miles and run a sub 3 hour marathon, but I'm going to run a marathon. And that to me is impressive. And it started by running 1 mile. To me, that was impressive. So yeah, no, without a doubt, I think, you know, I'd love the connections from everyone in the running space, but definitely the more realistic connections, that's for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. Well, cool. Well, so for your journey, you said you worked your way up into a 5K. And then from there, did you kind of jump straight to the half marathon point, or did you do the typical 5K, 10K to half pipeline?
Yeah. So, you know, listening to your podcast and listening to other running podcasts. I basically didn't even know what a 5K was, to be honest with you, Taylor. Like, I Googled how long a 5K was. So I was like, oh, 3 miles. That's cool. But the first few months of sobriety, like, it was basically a haze for me. Like, I wasn't sure what was going on. I was trying to put my life back together, you know, focus on mostly being sober, not going back to drinking, not going back to, you know, doing drugs, or not going back to gambling, you know, any of my vices that basically were, you know, ruining my life, you know? So, you know, like I said, it just started as a walk, and we were actually in the Outer Banks around this time last year on a family vacation. And I did that whole set the pin and did a loop, and I was like, oh, maybe I can do a 5K. And that's when, you know, I was about the time in Goggins' book where he was just like, you know, everyone says they're going to sign up and they don't do it. So I signed up for, that first 5K and it took off from there. So I went 5K, 10K, half, and then from the half, it jumped to a 50K into a 4-hour race. But
skip right over that marathon. No big deal.
No. And it's funny because I initially signed up to do the Marine Corps Marathon, which is next weekend. And that was the only goal. The big kahuna was just to run the marathon, trained this whole year. That was the high point. But as I used running every day in my sobriety, I realized I was making a lot of gains and I could probably, get ready to go past the half marathon distance. But I didn't want to do a marathon without the guy I'm running the marathon with next week. So I found the loophole and did a 50K and then a 24-hour.
There you go. No big deal.
No big deal.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely get into those as well. But I'm curious, that first 5K, I mean, being on this sober journey and everything that you had gone through to kind of get to that point, what was it like cross for you specifically crossing that finish line the first time?
I'm trying to keep back tears now. It was epic, Taylor. Running to me, I know without a doubt it saved my life. The programs of recovery, everything I do to be sober has changed my life in the past 13 months. 13 months ago, I did not want to be here. It was a Saturday morning like this 13 months ago, and I was at my rock bottom. I honestly thought my only option and my only way out of the destruction and the path I was on was to end my life. By the grace of God, I didn't, and I started getting the help I needed. And like I said, I started running. But when I did that first 5K, I did a practice 5K a week before. I had been walking and running that distance, and the night before, I'm nervous. That's I am above every race. I told my wife, and I was I don't know if I want to go tomorrow. It's going to be cold. I'm making every excuse. I'm almost 60 days sober, and my wife was no, you should go. You should go. And I was look, I won't set an alarm, but if I wake up at 7:17, which is my wife's birthday, I'll have enough time to get dressed, drive to the event and get my bib and all that stuff, which I'd never done before. This was my first ever 5K. So I didn't know how to get in and get early and stretch. And I was such a novice, Taylor. I had beat up ASIC shoes, corded headphones. I used my phone watch as a timer. I knew nothing about running. I still don't know anything about running, but I woke up the next morning. It was 7:17 and she was I guess you better get dressed and go. And it was a small race, a small 5K. It was a Veterans Day 5K. And that was why I signed up for it. Being a veteran, I was I had all these emotional attachments, sobriety was going on. And, so I got there and I ran it, and I ran a 36 minute 5K, and I was just so happy. It was so nice being around everyone. And I had my corded headphones in. I'm listening to Goggins pump me up the whole time. And we got to the last turn, and there was probably 20 or 30 people out there, and they had American flags, and they had bells, and they're cheering. And I'm getting choked up now, but I saw that the banner, and I was I did this. I did it. I finally did what I said I was going to do. And being that early in sobriety, and yet, even now, every day, I was just I can't believe I achieved this. And I crossed the finish line. I stopped my stopwatch on my phone. I took the screenshot and I texted my wife and I just said, I did it. And she's like, you sure did. And that was the bug, Taylor. And I was like, well, I got to keep doing this. And then I was like, well, I think I want to do 12 races to signify 12 months of sobriety, and I'll do a race every month. Next year. And I was already 2 months into sobriety, so I knew I'd double dip eventually, which I did a lot. But I was I just want to keep running. I was and I like this. And it was overwhelming, and I didn't want to feel that again. So that's why I kept doing it. And back to what we were talking about, making the connection with people, any runner, but definitely people that are on the recovery journey and running, it feels so good to accomplish something. I woke up, I didn't drink alcohol that day. I didn't do drugs that day. I didn't place a bet that day. I went out and put in some work. I ran that day a 5K. I didn't think about time. I just accomplished what I did, wanted to do. And it was overwhelming for me. Then I got in the car and Goggins kind of slapped me in the face. It was time to do the next one. So I signed up for more and kept going from there.
Yeah. That's incredible. It's just, it's insane to hear somebody that's been able to just completely turn a 360 on their life like that. And it's cool. I mean, to me, it sounds like that was the first time that you did something that was an accomplishment for yourself. Like you put in the work, you did something, you accomplished it, and it was for you. I'm sure that was really impactful to cross the finish line and feel that.
Oh, without a doubt, for sure. And then, like I said, that's why I was like, I got the bug now, so I got to keep doing
yes.
it. And I wanted cool medals every time. So I was like,
Of course. We'll do just about anything for a medal and a t-shirt, right?
Yeah. I was like, if I'm going to run this far, I might as well give money to charity and get a medal and a t-shirt.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. So we got the bug from there. Where did we kind of progress? Where you said that you were doing these, you had this goal of doing a race a month for your first year of sobriety. So how did we kind of progress from there?
Yeah. So after that first one, I was like, obviously I didn't really know how to train for any kind of distance. So
yeah.
I just Googled. I was like, oh, how do I Google, you know, couch to 5K? And that's what I Googled. And that's kind of how I've done it the rest of time to make it every distance. Just Googled like, how far do I need to run to run a 10K? So yeah. That's what I did. I Googled and ran. My next event was a 10K. And I live in Maryland. So the big 10K here is the Bay Bridge Run, which is like Chesapeake Bay Bridge goes from the Southern Maryland to the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And it's like voted like one of the scariest bridges in the world, probably. I mean, it's
super, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge race. Like it's like 16,000 people run it. Like it's
wow.
A big deal. Yeah. So that was now like my first jump into like a big, big race. So,
yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
So that's bigger than some of the half marathons and marathons that I've ran. That's yeah. Insane.
It's actually bigger than some of the half marathons and races I would do the rest of the year. But yeah, it's a big deal to run over the bridge and stuff like that. So no, I signed up for that. You know, my mom had a bunch of people running it. And they were like, oh, you ran a 5K. You can run a 10K. And I was like, how far is the 10K? So I Googled how far is the 10K, and I was like, that's 6 miles. So it was like 2 or 3 weeks after. So by then I had started doing a lot of walk running anyway. Like I said, I was using that as a part of my sobriety. So every day I would just get out and walk, run about a 5K, about 3 miles. I have like, I pinned it on that website. Like I knew my course. So I walked around it, and then about a week before I was like, oh, let me try to run 6 miles. And I did. And I was like, okay, like I can do it.
I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then my wife realized like I was getting kind of serious about it. So I like upgraded my shoes at least. So I wasn't running and then like busted up, you know, ASICS sneakers that like had a hole in them. I got like a good pair of Brooks. And
yeah.
I just got them like off of Amazon. Like I didn't even like, I was just like, yeah, those are good. So I didn't know nothing.
New shoes are better than old shoes, I guess.
Yeah. I knew nothing about like, you know, cushion and, you know, carbon plates and all this stuff I kind of know now, but yeah.
Sure. So, like,
yep. Those are good. They don't have a hole in them. I'll run. So yeah, I did the 10K and I think I ran in like 66 minutes. So I was like, oh, I was just happy. It was a beautiful morning. Like,
yeah,
of course I got to the finish line and I had some buddies there and I cried. And I was just like, I can't believe I did this. And like I said, it just kept going from there. And that's when I really decided to make the goal to know I was going to run a race every month and then really start investing in like the proper gear. And stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. So what kind of resources did you start seeking out from there? Cause that the whole world opens up to you for you. I feel like the second you start researching shoes and then fuel, and then it's all steamrolls from there. So where did you start with just like your research?
Yeah, so until later on in this journey, like I had no social media. Like I'm new to everything. Like I'm just like, you know, the old guy Googling like what to do. So like I said, I would Google training plans and was like, oh, Hal Higdon's training plan, or I would look at Jeff Cunningham or Couch, and I would just kind of hodgepodge all these training plans because I was like, oh, I didn't know. I was trying to balance basically sobriety life and all this, so
yeah.
I just basically looked at the weekly mileage when it came to training and was like, oh, I need to run 10 miles this week. So I just knew I needed to get 10 miles in. And then once I started Googling those websites, they were like, oh, I found out what Brooks was. And then that led me down to YouTube channels of, you know, Nick Bear and Rich Roll and, you know, Courtney Dolwalter. And then I'm just like, oh, and then of course once you're on in that sphere, you're seeing how everyone's fueling and what I really supposed to do for fueling and, you know, learning all that. So yeah, once I got on YouTube and started following in, I guess, influencers, then I kind of learned like, oh, that's how I need to fuel. And that's where I need to, you know, get the shoes. And, you know, honestly, I just got brand loyal. I went right to Brooks. And since I bought that with my first pair, I was like, oh yeah, these feel good. And then I researched more about like different lines of Brooks and understanding them. And I just stayed with them except for one race. But that was a mistake, but we can get into that. But I basically just Googled and listened to what everyone else said and kind of found what worked for me.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's the best way to go about it. I know sometimes, or at least for me, when I started down that rabbit hole, everything got a little bit overwhelming. I was like, okay, I thought running was putting my shoes on and headed out the door, but it seems to be a lot more complicated than that. So how was it like piecing everything together when you started thinking about the half marathon distance and maybe even beyond that?
Well, once I did, like I said, the 10K, I was like, okay, like, I ran 6 miles. What's after this? And then I saw the half and then I was like, well, what's in between? So I did a 10 miler and then I was like, okay. So, but once I got to the half, I was just like, I basically knew I was like right on the cusp of where I really need to focus on like, oh, I actually can't just hodgepodge training plans together, which like I said, I still do, but I actually need to go further distances and really, you know, do a lot of outside, you know, stretching and, you know, therapy and, you know, everything that everyone's doing. You know, I don't do cold plunges or anything like that, but but you know, I just was like, oh, I just basically spun it all together and was like, oh, I know now that I've done 6 miles, 10 miles. I felt pretty comfortable that I could do a half marathon distance. And then, but basically I take my training and I don't do the speed workout side of it. So I just do all kind of, I guess it's zone two. And I didn't know what a zone two was or zone one or zone three. And I like I said, I am no expert runner and I'm definitely not an expert in sobriety. So I just was like, oh, I just go out and run and like, you know, yeah, feel good and let it kind of do its own thing.
Yeah, for sure. And when you were starting to think about the like 10 miler half marathon distance, obviously that's a little bit more of a commitment than the 5K, 10K distance. So how many days a week were you dedicating to running?
So in the beginning, especially like I said, I use that as part of my sobriety. I ran every day.
Yeah.
I ran like 87 days straight and they weren't hard runs. And I just was going out and I'd most likely run a 5K every day because I was like, oh, this is easy. Distance, it's not easy to run a 5K, but I was just like, oh, I knew that I could run a 5K and as I would get better, like if I had 40 minutes, I could go out and get miles in and that's all I care about.
Yeah.
And actually still how I train now. But I was training almost every day a week. And then like a friend of mine who she's a really big runner, she was like, you need to take rest days. And then that's when I started Googling. She's like, on those training plans you're Googling, like they have off days. Like you need to do that. So then I was like, oh, so I would just balance my mileage and, you know, what my recovery days and what I needed to do basically off of my life. If I have to go to a service commitment or do something for recovery, which is number one in my life, that's what I have to do. Like I couldn't stay to Monday for a half marathon. This, you know, week two, I needed to run 3 miles at pace on Monday. On Tuesday, I might have a service commitment that I had to get to, but I was supposed to run 5 miles or something, you know? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, I cannot miss that. So I basically adjust accordingly to get my miles in. But yeah, I mean, even now I basically run at least 6 days a week. Some days I go out and get the mileage I want. And some days I just go run a 5K with my daughter in the stroller or running my dog and get what I can get. But I basically just try to get as many miles as I can a week.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I on those rest days, it sounds like you keep yourself busy with what you're involved with for your sobriety journey. But what, like, I'm sure that's not easy to have rest days built in, especially in the beginning where you were like, this is really helping me and I'm doing this every single day and that's what's keeping me moving forward. So if it's not too personal to ask, like mentally, how hard is it to have rest days incorporated into a training plan with going through what you're going through?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's a great question. It's very hard. Especially early on. And when I jumped in and started doing it every day, I essentially just replaced decades of substance abuse with running. So even now it's the problem. Like if I don't run, I am irritable, restless, and discontent. The same thing is if I didn't drink or if I didn't do drugs or if I didn't gamble, it was the same thing. Like it's, and luckily through the programs of recovery and support, like through my sponsor and through therapy and stuff like that, I was able to notice it. And they were like, hey, like, you know, I basically just, you know, replace these two vices. I got to be able to balance and, you know, balance all these things is critical, you know, in my life. But no, I mean, it basically overtook my life in a good way. And I thought it was like, oh, it was great. But, you know, then I realized that I did need the rest days to, you know, actually rest my body and rest my mind and get right.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that there's people that are listening that are going through something very similar. And it sounds like it's important to have those rest days in there, but to make sure that you have resources available to you as well to kind of help you through those more uncomfortable moments, it sounds like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to hear about the races. That's the most exciting part of these conversations for sure. So 10 miler was that's a massive, I know it's only 4 miles more than a 10K, but that's the first time we're in double digits and we're running a race. So what was that race like for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. So it was the Parkway Classic here in DC, like run Mount Vernon and run from Mount Vernon to Old Town Alexandria. It was the same thing, honestly, Taylor. Like every race to me is so important. Like and maybe it's because I'm new into running and new on this journey. Like I get so excited about each one. Like I feel the same I did from that first 5K to the 24-hour race I just did. Like it just overwhelms me with excitement. But yeah, the 10 miler, like I think I did like a 7 or 8 mile run like 2 weeks before. And I was like, oh, I felt pretty good. And by then like I said, my training, I logged so much weekly mileage, you know, between walking and running and mostly zone 2 running, like I'm averaging close to 30 miles a week running. And that months and months ago for that reason to have the flexibility. So I knew I could do the distance and I just get out there and feel the vibes, man. I mean, there's something about the racing community and, you know, obviously road racing and ultra trail racing is different. But it's still the same thing. It's still people getting out there trying to do something better themselves, accomplish a goal. And once I got to the 10 miler, it was pretty hilly, but it was awesome. People were out there, my boss was out there cheering me on, like, you know, cool. we finished in Old Town and my wife and daughter at the finish line, and you know, I was like, oh, I got another one, like it's time to go a couple more distance up. But you know, same thing, got to the finish line. You know, this is a pretty big race over there too. There's a couple thousand runners. You know, the streets are lined in Old Town Alexandria, and I'm just like crying my eyes out. They're like, I'm sure people are like, man, this guy just only ran a 10 miler. Like, why is he so, you know, I was just so pumped up. I mean, it is, like you said, it was the first time I went into double digits, but it was just, it's just an amazing accomplishment for me. Like, I was like, hey, I want to keep stacking up races, and this is the next distance, and I did it, and I felt great. So, yeah, it was an awesome race. Nice day, hilly course, but awesome time. So.
Yeah. Just keep proving to yourself that you can do hard things. I mean, you just keep taking that natural progression and proving it to yourself. I'm sure that was just amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm so curious. I know you ran a couple of halves, and I don't mean to just like jump right over those because I'm sure those were really impactful as well. But how in the heck did we get from 10 miler half marathons to a 50K? Because that's a massive jump.
So like I said, I am running the Marine Corps Marathon next weekend, and that was the only goal race. It was only just going to be doing little races and doing 5Ks, maybe 10Ks. I was definitely doing the halves. I did. But like, I didn't even know there was a distance above, you know, really the marathon. I mean, I heard Rich Roll talk about, you know, and once I got into that sphere, like ultra running and this craziness, and you have Goggins running 100 milers and all this. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. But like, I can't even run a 5K. Like, how am I going to run an ultra marathon? After my second half marathon, I just felt good. I was like, okay, like I'm ready to go to the marathon distance, but I didn't want to basically cheat on my boy and run a marathon without him, since we made the goal to run the Marine Corps Marathon together. He's a marathon runner. He's run a bunch, but he's never ran it. So I was like, well, you know, how can I go a distance above a marathon without running a marathon? So I Googled what's above a marathon. They said 50K. So I was like, all right. So that was my way around it. But yeah, I just signed up for it. I ran my second half marathon. And, you know, like I said, my goal was to run a race every month. And I started running last, you know, at the end of last summer. Well, I didn't know that, like, there's seasons in running, basically.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I'm running all these races, and then I get into like June, and I ran my half marathon in May. And I was like, there's not really a lot of big races in June and July. Like, why are that? It makes sense now. Like, we both have the same kind of tempered air. I mean, it's hot. So
it's
like,
rough. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, no wonder no one's really running over a half marathon. Cause I was like, I saw a few half marathons, and I was like, I don't want to run a half marathon again. Like, I want to go up. But I was like, there's no races. And then all of a sudden I saw on the Running USA app, like, August 3rd, there's a 50K. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just do that then. So I took June and July to quote unquote train for it. And I just signed up and went for it. And that was definitely an experience.
Yeah, that sounds pretty crazy. So I know you were kind of piecing together plans at that point. Were you just like focused on building distance every single weekend? So just adding like a mile or two every single weekend, or how did that look?
Well, see, by then, like, I already knew I could do the half marathon distance. So I was like, oh,
sure.
And then same thing, Googled how far does a beginner novice runner need to run for a 50K? And I just, honestly, I always go to the peak week and I see what the mileage is. And in most training plans, especially like a marathon, you know, say it's, you know, for a beginner novice runner, it's 45 miles. And that's usually just with one long run. But, you know, and that's in an 18 week or 16 week training plan. Like, I had already been training by the time I got to my 50K, you know, almost a year. So I've been running, you know, since I run as part of my recovery, like, I've been logging so many miles. Like, I'm like, oh, like, a peak, you know, marathon training week or 50K week is, you know, 45 miles. Like, okay, like, with a long run. But if I knew that I could always average close to 25 to 30 miles a week, every week, no matter what, like, I knew my legs would be ready. Then it was just figuring out, strategy of fueling and, you know, hydration and hydration packs and all that. That's when I really started deep diving and took the summer to figure that out. But, you know, the mileage, even now, like, I just basically always just run 30 miles a week, and I know that I can run a marathon. I could go run a marathon tomorrow, you know, and I feel good about it. But, and that was kind of like a Ken Rideout. Ken Rideout is a sober athlete. He's an amazing runner. I mean, he crushes like all the big world marathons all the time. And all he does is run 10 miles a day. So I was like, well, I know I didn't need to do speed workout. I'm sure it would help, but I know I didn't need to do all these different things. If I just got my legs ready, I knew I could make the distance. And in the job I have, I'm in high end construction. So I work like 10 to 12 to 14 hours on my feet every day, all day, in boots. And that was the crazy part of going into my 50K. Like, my taper 2 weeks was like the two busiest weeks of work. So I was working like 70 hour weeks trying to get ready for a 50K ultra marathon. But yeah, I mean, the distance, I was just like, I knew I could do the distance. It was just trying to figure out the hydration part of that side.
Sure. Yeah. What were you finding out at the time? Did you order like a vest, or how did you kind of piece that all together?
Yeah. So I just ordered everything different. Like, I ordered a hip one, and I always carry like a handheld. And so I was like, well, I know I need more water than that. And I did a hip one, and I tried that and I didn't like it. Then I did a backpack, like a camelback style, and I didn't like it smacking me on the back. And then it's funny, I saw your Salomon vest. I was like, well, that's kind of cool, like the soft flat, like, let me go that route.
That
and got that like literally like the week before my 50K. And then that's when I made the new novice rookie mistake that everyone says, don't get new shoes, don't do all this crazy stuff the week before your race. And we were at REI, and I got the vest, and I looked over, and I since then had like stepped up my Brooks shoe running game. But I saw a pair of Hokas, and everyone, I was in this trail mindset, and everyone was wearing Hokas, and I was like, they were on sale. So I switched shoes the week before. And then, that's a whole other thing we'll get into in the race. But I just basically tried to figure out, see what everyone else was doing, and figure out how to fuel and get all the right gear. And I just kept testing it out, and then went from there.
Yeah, cool. I like the flasks too. I agree that sometimes it depends on the race, but yeah, sometimes having the bladder in the back can be a little bit uncomfortable and strange for it takes a lot of getting used to.
Yeah, for sure. Like I didn't like that. Like I just definitely like the squeeze now, and it was better. Yeah. So no, I saw your vest. I was like, that's pretty cool. I got the same color. I was like, yeah,
nice. It's a good one. I love mine too.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah. So the 50K distance, did you know of anything about the race at this point? I know, like, had you looked up anything about the aid stations and how you were going to have opportunities to fuel during the race or anything like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I signed up for it, and honestly, I signed up for it late because I'm not going to lie, I was nervous. Like, I was like, this is a big jump. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I was doing my weekly mileage, but I was like, I should probably try to get a long run in to see if I could do it. And then I just couldn't find the time. And then like 4th of July weekend, like it was a long weekend. So I was like, oh, let me just try to do that 4x4x48 challenge where you like run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, well, that'll be the equivalent of my long run. So I did like, I don't know, 16 bouts of it, or 16 miles or something. And I was like, it was like the hottest weekend on record. And I was like, okay, like, this is not smart. So I stopped doing that. And I was like, well, I just kept my weekly training mileage. And then I was like, they told me that the course was flat and, you know, pretty soft and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's going to be like a road. I saw the pictures online. I was like, oh yeah, it's a trail. Like I kind of run on a trail by me. Like it looks nice. It should be fine. And, you know, I saw they had eight stations every like 3 miles, and then, you know,
oh, perfect. Yeah. Once
you get into that, the 50K ultra sphere, which is a whole other community of hooligans. it's the fueling stations and everything are just totally different, which are epic. But I basically came up with a strategy. You know, I used my vest, you know, I had the 220-ounce flask, and I was, you know, came up with a fueling strategy of how I'd fuel, you know, the first half and then refill up everything on the back half. And I had extra flask. So yeah, I came up with a crazy kind of plan that kind of worked, and until it did.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I'm excited to hear about this race. So how did we feel getting to start line? And then I'll let you just kind of take it from there.
Yeah. So the race was a few hours away from our house. So we like stayed the weekend at my parents, and we were like, enjoyed the weekend together, and it was nice. And, you know, it was in August, a few months ago. So I was almost 1 year sober. So we stayed the weekend at my parents, and then I went to the race. It started like 6 a.m. So obviously my wife and daughter and my mom were going to come to the race, but I was like, I had a goal of like running it in like 6 hours, because I was like, oh, I could run it. Like by then my times had gone down so much. I was like, oh, okay. Like I had a strategy of running like 10 minute, 30 second miles. So I was like, oh, I can do that. Like, you know, I've never ran in a trail and didn't know what ultra running was. So I was like, oh yeah, like you guys just come at this time and I'll be fine. So I got to the race myself early, and it was like a beautiful morning. I think there's like maybe 200 runners. I was nervous. Of course, I was like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do, but it was just like an out and back. And I was like, okay, like I just got to run out and back. And, it started off good, and like the vibes are good, and you know, everyone had their vest on, and you know, I've been running on the road, so people don't really wear Hydra vest, and you know, everyone is, like I said, just a kind of different community. And I was nervous, and you know, I like put a video on YouTube, and yeah, you know, of course I'm emotional, I was crying, and I was just like, I can't believe I'm here. Like, this is a big distance. Like, I'm gonna do this. I'm almost 1 year sober. I'm going to check in during this race. And I just went out and I sent it. I didn't run fast. Like it was like a single trail in the beginning. So you kind of stay close. So I kind of just dialed into my pace once the nerves came out, and I dialed in right in at like 10 minute, 10:30. And I felt great. It was awesome. People around, kind of around by then, like you had periods, you know, when you get in the trail running, like you're by yourself. So I loved it. Like I started running with headphones. I eventually got rid of the corded headphones and got like good headphones. But the past few months, I just stopped wearing the headphones and just kind of been able to reflect. And I was like super emotional, obviously, the whole race. Like I was like, especially the first half, like the sun was coming up and the birds were chirping or running through the woods. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is a Saturday morning, almost a year ago. Like I was hungover. My life was in shambles. I was on the verge of ending my own life. Like, I was going to lose everything I had. Like, and now I'm running through the woods. Like, this is amazing. Like, I'm like, oh, I feel great. And, you know, every 3 miles they had the aid station, and I implemented my fueling strategy pretty well. Like, you know, I had chewable gummies and, you know, banana baby food pouches. Like, cause I was like, all right, like that sounds good. Like, so I just used stuff like we had at home and like Rice Krispie treats. And then I got to like the 15-mile mark and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I felt good. I was just like taking selfies and sending it to my family. And I was like, yeah, I hope you guys are on the starting line. Like, when I get there, it's going to be great. Or the finish line. Like, I'm cruising, and I cruise like another 5 miles, and then my ankles just blew up. And I was like, oh man. Yeah. So that rookie mistake of changing my shoes the week before came back to bite me. And the reason I said we stayed at my parents the night before is I like had the shoes on, and it's no shot at Hoka, so hopefully they don't sponsor you.
No, you're good.
I'm definitely brand loyal back to Brooks, and that'll go to the next race. But yeah, I was wearing the shoes around, and my dad was like, you're not going to like this. He was like, your ankles are going to blow up. He's like, there's no support. Like, you're not going to like it.
Mm.
He called it like mile 22. I was like, oh man, my right ankle hurt so bad. And I was like, everything else felt great. Like, I wasn't cramping. Like, I was in the mentally was great. Like, cardio was on point. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel great, but my ankle hurt. And like, it just,
yeah, that's frustrating.
It just would turn, you know, and they're like, oh, the course is flat and fast and all that. So, well, like, maybe that's flat and fast in the ultra community and trail running. Trail running is, you know, roots and big rocks and like, you don't have to be a technical runner, but I'm like, well, we're running on like boulder, so your ankle is just always like this. And like, I got these low cut shoes now, and like, yeah. So it took me longer to walk run the last 10 miles than it took me to run the first 22 miles.
Oh wow.
Yeah basically after that I just tried to walk run it, and I tried my best, and I just kept going. And then I was about a mile out from the finish line, and a guy ran by me, and he had a speaker, and he was playing Coldplay, A Sky Full of Stars. And getting emotional, sorry. That was a big song for me and for a buddy of mine. He passed away from this, you know, from addiction, and he just loved that song. And I love this, and it meant a lot to us. So we, it just was like a perfect point, man. I'm like, gosh, like this guy, I didn't even see him. I didn't even know where he came from. And he's just blaring this music. And I was like, all right, let's just send it the last mile. Like, my ankle falls off, it falls off. And, I just took off the last mile, and, I turned the corner, and since I had texted my parents, my mom and my wife that I was getting close, like my mom had come up a little bit with my daughter. And she couldn't hold my daughter back anymore. So like, my daughter came and ran the last little corner with me, and it's on, you know, my Instagram and YouTube, and it was great.
Yeah.
I'm just crying, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And as I turn the corner, my wife is standing there, and all my friends are there. And then she's holding two phones, and on Zoom, all my friends that couldn't make it. We're on Zoom. So basically, all these people that I've harmed throughout my addiction and through my decades of just, you know, destruction, basically, and people that were always constantly bailing me out and in my corner, you know, I didn't know they were going to be there. And they were all there. And it was because of the, you know, the programs of running, of recovery and running, honestly. And obviously, like, now I'm pretty emotional about it. It was definitely one of the greatest things in my life. It was amazing. That feeling I definitely probably will never get back, but I feel like that, like I say, every time I run, but it was definitely a highlight of my life, you know. So I came in an hour after my goal, but I made it in time. I ran in like 7 hours, but that made it worth it. And it was awesome. It was an awesome day.
Yeah.
I'll definitely never forget that one.
I'm just like at a loss for words. I gave you chills just thinking about how that probably felt for you. That's incredible. And you had no idea that you knew your family was going to be there, but you had no idea that the rest of the crew was going to be there as well.
Yeah, no idea. I knew my mom and my wife and my daughter were going to be there, because they're my wife and daughter at the majority of my races. I mean, some of the small 5Ks and stuff, like they don't, you know, won't come to just because I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go down the street and run a 5K really quick, or
sure,
have other things going on. Or like, you know, running with my daughter is really big for me too. Obviously my Instagram is Sober Dad Run. So I try to not only be, you know, sober and run, but running with her is huge. Like running and pushing a stroller. Or we did like holiday runs and turkey trots and do all that stuff. Like I dress up and, you know, so running is huge to me. So I knew they were going to be there, but we were like 2.5 hours away from where we live. So to see like all my friends and, you know, like my best friends I grew up my whole life to drive that far. And then the other guys that like, you know, they have kids and lives too. And like, they were busy to just be on Zoom, and they were on Zoom for a long time. Cause my wife called him and was like, oh, he's going to be close. He's 3 miles out. Like he's going to be here. And, you know, at the time she thought like 30 minutes, but it was like,
yeah,
an hour plus later. But she was like, no, so they were all like, oh my gosh. So it was awesome.
That's incredible. Yeah. What a cool experience. And for it to be a 50K too, I know the marathon distance, it's still just as impressive, but just what you go through on a 50K, like you said, you're by yourself a lot. It's a little bit of a more treacherous terrain where you have to really pay attention. I know mentally that can be really hard. And then just having that emotional moment with that song that meant so much to you, just like divine intervention making its way into your race as well. Like I'm sure by the end you were just emotionally drained on top of being physically drained.
Yeah. You know, well, it's funny. It's like, besides my ankle hurting, everything else felt great. And
yeah,
you know, and the first thing my daughter was like, oh, Dad, can I have some water? So like, I'm over there, like getting my daughter water and like trying, and everyone's like looking at me like, you know, of course I'm filthy. And they're like, my buddies and my wife are like, please come sit down. And like, what do you need? I'm like, I don't know. I'm fine. Like, what do you, Taylor, it was like the heat wave that came through here, and it was like 110 degrees out. It was like the hottest.
Oh my gosh.
It was August 3rd. It was so miserable in this area. And then they were like, please, like, sit. I'm like, I'm good. Like, the kids all have red faces from being out in the sun for like an hour and a half, 2 hours waiting for me. And like, I'm like, no, we got to get you guys out of here. Like, it was funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, like, yeah, emotionally, I was spent. And then, like, we went like the Chick-fil-A and the kids. And I honestly sat there just grateful. I mean, every time I run, like, that, like, I signed up to this to do the hard thing. Like, I know it's going to be hard, you know, and I know people are going through a lot of hard things. So, you know, I'm not like, oh, I'm an ultra runner. I run these hard things. So I feel good for me because it's hard. Like, some people might think running that 1 mile, a year ago, running that 1 mile was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. Like,
right.
I felt the same way I did now. And I think that's how people should feel. I mean, I, if you think it's hard, it is hard and you should comp it. Good for you. Like, go get it. And, you know, I just sat in the Chick-fil-A lobby, like looking at like my mom and all my buddies and all the kids. And, you know, I'm just like, oh. And then, of course, later that night, I was like, oh, crap. I'm a little sore. Like, I should probably like massage myself and like take a shower. And like, but it was just overwhelming gratitude.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. That whole experience is just incredible. So hard to top that. I mean, from there, I know you've already got the bug, so I'm sure you weren't thinking it and you weren't stopping anytime soon. And I know you had this marathon as a goal as well, but how did this 24-hour race then make it into your repertoire?
Yeah, so the day after the 50K, like, there's no rest in our household, just like today. Like, you know, I was up coaching my daughter's soccer team, like getting the tempo in with the Pink Llamas this morning. We got a little tempo.
Love it.
And then, you know, we have like, I have a list of honey-do list to do and like, you know, kids' birthday party and try to sneak some miles in. And it was the same thing after the 50K. Like, we had a kid birthday party the next day. And my wife was like, you don't have to go. And I was like, I mean, just because I did this doesn't mean I get a pass to sit at home all day. Like, I probably should up, but I was like, oh, let me go to the birthday party and be around people. And,
yeah.
You know, I spent years, you know, drinking and doing all this negative stuff. And especially the first 4 years of my daughter's life, you know, I wasn't a good dad, Taylor. I mean, I wasn't. I was absent. I was controlled by alcohol and gambling and wanting to go out and do all this stuff. Like, I wasn't here for my daughter. So just because now I decided to go run this hard race and I everyone patted me on the back, like, I'm still going to go to the birthday party. So I went to the birthday party and a friend of mine, she was there and she had ran this crazy race. And she was like, oh, you ran a 50K? And she was telling me about her 50K. She's like, well, I'm running this crazy 24-hour race. And I was like, that sounds awesome. I was like, when is it? She was like, oh, it's like in a couple of weeks. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, I can do that. Like, And I was like, well, you know, let me look at it. Of course, it was like sold out. So I was like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, oh, maybe next year we'll do a 50K together. Like, it sounds really cool. But something told me like, hey, like just email them and like see if I can like get on the wait list or something. And sure enough, the guy emailed me back. I was like, yeah, bro, you're in. I was like, all right, sounds good.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh crap, I know nothing about really running. Like,
now we figured it out.
Like, I was like, that was a mistake. So I was like, I don't have a tent. I don't even have a lawn chair. Like, what do I do? I definitely got back on Google and figured out what to do after that. So the good thing is, yeah, it was like a 24-hour 5K on the hour every hour for 24 hours. Of course, I had the goal of running for 24 hours, but it went the way it went. But I made it 14 hours. But it was
That's pretty good still.
Yeah. So I figured out how, you know, what I needed, and you know, I by then like I had started documenting like, you know, my journey in recovery and running on YouTube a few months before that. And then somebody was like, dude, you need to go on like Instagram. I was like, I don't even know what Instagram is. So I got on Instagram, started doing that. And then, like I said, that opened up the sphere of like ultra running and like crewing, and people have crews and all that. So I was like, well, let me ask people to be my crew. So sure enough, my dad flew up from Florida and he was my support crew, and we found a pop-up tent and a lawn chair. And I just took a bunch of stuff out into the woods of the Eastern Shore of Maryland and ran for 14 hours. But
that's a cool race format.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And I was just like, all right, like, of course, you know, I had the goal of doing 24 hours. It was called the Pemberton 24. The Algonquin Ultras out there, like, they put it on. It was so awesome. Like, it was an experience. You know, like I said, once you get into that ultra trail community, I mean, it's just a whole other realm of runners. And I was like, man, like, are these my people? Are the Roadrunners my people? Or can I keep doing this hodgepodge of both? Like, I was like, I'm gonna dip my toes into both these and like, you know, just be into both these spheres. But yeah, so no, it was epic. It was definitely a cool format, and that's what I thought. I was like, you know, if I could do, you know, a 5K, I was like, I can do a 5K. If you're running like a 5K, yeah, I go do one, and you know,
sure.
Yeah. So I was like, I didn't think about how hard like 24 5Ks are back to back. So it was pretty epic.
That's great. Yeah. So was the format, so you said a 5K every hour on the hour. So and what time did it start, I guess?
So it started on Friday at 7 p.m. You go through the night first. So it's all in the night. You get there, you get to the event site at like 3, and they they open up the tents. Like, they have, you get a tent spot or camp spot, and then that's your bib number. So you get to set up, people had regular tents. We just had a pop-up tent. And then at 7 p.m., yeah, they start a 5K on the hour, every hour, and you have the 1 hour to do the 5K, and then you have to get in line for the next 5K right at the top of the hour, and then you start. Then you can't start late. You can't, you know. But yeah, so it starts at 7 p.m. and goes all the way to 7 p.m. the next day.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Like, they have like theme races, and you know, they have music, and it's a whole big thing, because some people, I mean, it's a huge race. So some people just go out and just run one 5K and then camp all weekend and hang out with their friends, and then some people go to run all 24 and are actually out there to run. So it's like it's a great mix of everything. I mean, it was an awesome race, but yeah, we started at 7 p.m. and just kind of went from there.
That's so cool. What do you do in between? I mean, I'm sure the longer you go, the more that hour gets used up. But like, if you ran a 35 minute, you know, 5K, what do you do with the rest of your 30 minutes? Just like fuel, recover, do what you can.
Yeah. So that's what I would say the elites were doing. My first like 6 or 7 5Ks were good. Like, I had an idea. I was like, okay, like, I knew I was like, if I could just run like 12 minute miles to go the whole 24, I wanted to go. It's like, because it's not really, it's more than a 5K. It's weird, like, because it's through the woods and it's a trail. So they're like, well, it might be the 5K distance, but it also might be like 3.74. Mm. If you run this side of the road, it might be 3.5. So you really, it's hard to really tell, like, they just say it's just the 5K, but so
yeah.
So the elites were done pretty soon, so they would come back and sit. And my plan was like, oh, if I got back and I had 20 minutes, and I was like, I had 20 minutes, I could walk back to the tent because I always wanted to keep moving, get something to drink, massage my legs out real quick, and that was my idea. And then obviously, as the night progressed, the chair went from the tent at the campsite to the start finish.
Sure.
I only had like 6 minutes but in between races, and I was like, okay, like I can't waste 2 minutes walking back to the camp and back. So yeah, it just evolved. I was figuring out a lot about myself and a lot about fueling and hydrating and how to do it all. But no, it was really fun. But yeah, we got really wet. That was a whole other thing too, so it was pretty wild.
Oh, so it rained as well?
No, so it had rained that week before recently, I don't even know, like a week or so. So it was going to be sloppy, but it had stopped raining 2 days before. But they had changed the course. They do this race every couple of years, but they had changed the course, and everyone thought it was going to be the same route. So like, oh yeah,
right.
Now looking back, we can tell the race director Trent, awesome dude, like you can tell he had something up his sleeve, because he was like, "Hi, everyone, enjoy the first mile and a half." We're like, well, why is that? Like, that's kind of a weird thing to say.
Yeah
So we take off, and I think there's like 500 runners. Obviously it thins out through the night, and some people are only running one or two 5Ks. So you start out and you're in a big bunch, and you're going through, and we run through the woods, and your lights are on, and everyone's just jacked up. And then we're like a mile and a half in, and all of a sudden I could see the lights kind of stopping, and I hear I was like, that sounds like water. And next thing I know, we're running through like knee deep water.
Oh my gosh. It's just
on a river. So high tide comes in from 7 p.m. to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. So tide is in for the next 4 hours. And it's like, and it'd been raining. So it was high. So like, we're just like splashing through. Like I said, it's all like on my Instagram, on YouTube. Like, it's so funny.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like, I was like, well, this is going to take a lot of people out. But it was a beautiful night. Like, the moon was out, the stars are out, and like, it was, the temperature was perfect. And it's just like, and you're running through the water. I'm like, well, welcome to ultra running. And
I was going to say, that's the most ultra running thing I've ever heard was a surprise river halfway through. Yeah. Why not?
it was so epic. So, the first few hours, then I was like, all right, like this is kind of changing the game. Now I got to figure out what to do. But yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a cool race format. I feel like that's a really great way to dip your way into ultra, or dip your toes into ultra running for sure. Cause you can kind of like quit whenever you need to. You've got a little bit of rest in between. It's an out and back, so you're not getting lost out there in the woods mentally. I'm sure that's easier on you. I think that's a great way to kind of dip your toes into that space for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the trail was like perfectly lit, like not lit, but had markers, you get lost. And you didn't have to run every lap. Like, the whole point, it's all points based too. So like, the more you run back to back to back, you run overnight, you can win the race by doing that. Of course, the people who won the race ran each one and won each one. But like, I could have took a break. Like, that was my goal after I was like, oh, I can't run 24 straight. So I ran the 14 straight. And then I was like, all right, like, maybe let me just go take a break for like one lap. Because by then, like, I had my ideal pacing, and I was like, oh, if I have 20 minutes each time, well, that 20 minutes turned into the very last lap. I had like 3 minutes before the next loop started. And I was like, all right, like,
sure.
I know I'm not going to make it now within the time. So I was like, I don't want to waste my energy. Let me go take a break. But yeah, it was definitely epic. I learned a lot for sure about myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And then the next race from there is now the Marine Corps, right? Or did you have one in between that one and this one coming up?
Yeah. So that was after that. Then I ran my last 10 miler, which was,
okay.
Yeah, that was, so that was like my 13th race of my first year of sobriety.
Cool.
I ran that on my sobriety date of August 25th. So I went out there. Great. And PR'd my 10 miler. Like, it didn't seem a lot to everyone else, but it was big for me. Like, I mean,
yeah.
And I didn't even realize I quote unquote PR'd it. I just went out. It was a perfect day. Like, I just felt good. The whole thing from being sober for a year. I went out there and just sent it. And it was awesome.
Yeah, what a celebration. PRing your 10-miler time on your anniversary date is fantastic.
Yeah.
So now we're training for this marathon. So this was the goal all along, but we had some cool races that we threw in along the way, which I think is just epic of you to do. But we're coming up on this race now. How are you feeling about it? Anything that's changed from the last race? It's coming up quick.
Yeah. So we are like a week away. Nothing's really changed. Of course, I'm super nervous. I'm like, oh, I don't think I can make the distance, or I don't know, like, yo, there's no way I can run 26.2. And like, I was even saying that yesterday. I actually golfed yesterday, and the buddy of mine that I'm running the Marine Corps Marathon with, he's like, dude, you just ran like almost 50 miles. Like,
yeah, I think you're ready.
He's like, you ran a 50K. I was like, well, doesn't everyone's marathon training plan like 16 week? That's like a 50K and like all this. I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, that. He's like, I think you're ready, bro. And he's like, you know, but like I said, Taylor, like I never really like full sinned when I run. Like I just go out, and I think it's because the way I run here and run during my quote unquote training is I know it's called zone two. Like I don't think I'm running zone two. I just go out to run. Like I go out.
Yeah.
Use running as my meditation to feel good, to get the work in, to get the miles in, to get to my goal. But even when I run during the week, like I just like running. Like I just want it. I don't want it to be hard. Like I don't want to go run sprints on the track. Like that's good for everyone else. And I think it's maybe it will make me faster. But like I look at the time, my times, the way I train from where I was a year ago to where I was, couldn't even run a mile and running like 13 minute miles to running like 8.5 minute miles. And like I'm not even honestly trying. Like I'm running like, oh, I ran my 10 miler and like my heart rate was like 143. I'm like, oh, like I'm not even, but because I've let it naturally do that over time, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like that gets into people like, oh, that's zone two running. That's how it's supposed to go. I'm like, I guess, like I just run so I don't drink alcohol and do drugs and gamble and be a good dad. So, but yeah, going into the Marine Corps Marathon, of course, like everyone, like I'm like, oh, I'm not ready. Like I haven't ran a lot the past 2 weeks. Like I've only ran 20 miles. And this week I only ran like, I think like 12 miles so far. Like, but I'm like, oh, well, we went on vacation. We, you know, I was able to give back a lot in the service community and in my programs of recovery. I was able to go coach my daughter's soccer practice. Like a year ago, I wasn't doing that. Or, you know, a little
right.
bit, like that wasn't my goal. My goal wasn't to go get up on Saturday mornings and coach my daughter's soccer. So, you know, I'm just trying to take every win as I can. You know, I'm just trying to be like, oh, like, okay, I didn't get my 20 miles in this week or my 30 miles in, whatever I was. But like, I got 15 miles in and I got to be a good dad and I got to be an actual dependable husband now and a good human being and, you know, do these things for other people. And I'm like, oh, great. Like I'm going to go run the Marine Corps Marathon. I know I can run it. And then, you know, now it's, do I actually go out there and like send it? And like, am I ready? You know, or, you know, since I've already know I can do the distance, like, all right, like, do I go line up with the 345s and say, all right, like let's send it. Like, I know I can do it now. Like, okay. So that's where I'm at now, just going back and forth. You know, of course, like I'll start implementing my carbo load. I mean, for the 50K, I had a really good plan. Like I started carbo loading 3 days before. But, you know, even then, like I still eat gummy bears and my daughter's chicken nuggets that are left over. And like, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm not a professional runner. Like, you know, I just do this. So, like I say, to be sober. So, you know, and I think whatever I'm doing seems to be working. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course I'm super nervous. I mean, this is a huge race.
Of course.
I mean, it's the, you know, it's, I mean, it's the people's race. It's a massive marathon. You know, the logistics of course are crazy. Like you got to go to the shuttle spot and you got to, you know, so you got to figure all that out. And then it's like, oh, you know, that's all other things. Like, oh, like, you know, every time I do kind of bigger races, I'm like, I feel a little too early. So then of course, like you're on the shuttle and like, you got to go to the bathroom or you're like, oh, did I take my pre-race drink too early? And what do I do now? Did my stretching right? So, you know, I think like everyone, I'm just trying to figure it out, but no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like I said, I hopefully get out there and, you know, the goal is sub four. I know I could do sub four, but you know, my buddy yesterday was like, dude, he's like, go stand with the 330s and then work your way back. If you don't make it, he's like, but if you
feel
good, you can, he's like, just go for it. So, you know, that's what I, you know, like I said, I didn't get into running to set records and all that. I got into running for different reasons, but now I'm like, all right, well, maybe I will just try to do that next weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it's important to for everybody that every single race can have its own goal. Like your reason why you run, you're very confident in that, you know the reason why you run. You've taken things slower so that you can develop this relationship with it over time. But I think we can treat each race with their own individual goals. So if one racer goal is to learn something about yourself and to just kind of do your own thing and do what feels good, that's amazing. And if your goal is a time goal on the next one, also amazing. It's just about kind of shifting our what we're focusing on to the goals of the actual race we're running. So no, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I like that. I've never really thought about that. I like that. So now maybe I will go stand with the 330s next week. Be like, oh, yeah, and end with the fives, but the 5 hours. But yeah, I don't know. So no, I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out as well. And cool. So a couple questions I want to just ask you at the end to wrap up here. And first, just for the audience, I'm going to apologize because I've stopped asking these questions. And then I had a few people reach out and say, hey, you haven't been asking about fuel and shoes at the end. So we're bringing back the fuel and the shoe questions on this episode. Hopefully you don't mind being my first person back asking those questions too.
No, let's do it.
But for shoes, I know everybody's got their own journey. Go get your feet measured. Of course, that's my disclaimer. A shoe journey is your own journey. But for you, what have you liked for shoes over time?
Yeah. So like I said, I did not know about shoes in the beginning. So I was running in busted Asics and then, Googled what are the best running shoes. It said Brooks. I got a pair of Brooks. So I started with like Brooks launches. Didn't know about like those aren't like for distance and all that. So I did more research. Stayed with Brooks. I love Brooks. The only time I didn't do Brooks is when I ran that 50K. But when I went back to my trail, that last Pemberton 24, the trail race, I went to the Brooks Divide trail shoes, and those are epic. Like, so yeah, I run in Brooks. I cycle. I have so many running shoes now; it's insane. So I cycle between them all, the different ones. Like if I'm running like 5K or less, or you know, on the treadmill, I'll wear the Brooks launches. If not, I'll run between the Glycerins. That's my main running shoes.
Yeah, I love the Glycerins too.
So and that's when I finally went to get fitted. I went, you know, got the right socks and got a size up and like, yeah. So yeah, Brooks Glycerins are my favorite, but I use like the Adrenalins and the launches during the week too. So, but that's my relationship.
Cool. Love it. Yeah. I love the Glycerins as well. I recently tried the Ghost Max as well. I don't know if you've tried that one, but that one I really love as well. It's really similar to the Glycerins.
Yeah. That's what they said. They were like, they're right in the family. And then of course, like they have like new, it's crazy that the shoes are coming out.
You could go down a hole wormhole.
Yeah,
for sure. cool. And then for fuel, again, disclaimer, fuel is your own journey. Test out everything and anything and figure out what works best for you. But for you, what has worked the best in your experience?
Yeah, so that's actually something I'm going to try this week and probably won't because, of course, like I'm the week before the Marine Corps Marathon. So I'm like, oh, like, do I really need to start doing gels? Like, I've never done gels. I honestly, when I say eat my daughter's gummy bears, like, that's what I use. Like, I was like, oh, it's got 100, you know, calories and 20 grams of carbs, or just like a gel. Like, you know, I was like, oh, so I started using like gummy bears and baby food applesauce pouches for the half marathon and stuff. You know, you're right on that threshold to where you don't really get into, I guess, lactic or where you need to start introducing gels. I know some people do. When I run, usually I just take like the BPN sports drink with me, the GM1 Sport, like that has carbs and stuff in it. So I drink a carb drink while I'm running, and I'll have that in my pack. But yeah, even like for the Marine Corps Marathon, like that's a big thing I've been going back and forth with. Like, you know, I know in the trail races and those, like everyone wears packs, but like you know how it is in the, you know, on the road races, like no one really wears hydro packs, and I'm like, but I like wearing it, like, you know, so
yeah.
So that's the whole thing. But fueling, yeah, the in race, I honestly just crush a bunch of Haribo gummy bears.
I love it.
I was like, I have it here. I'm not gonna spend a bunch of money on it. You know, I don't really like. I had a gel like one time before, and I didn't like it. So yeah, I mean, I try to do everything before then. I try to carb load so much with whole foods and, you know, quinoa and like healthy carbs before, like days and days before. But yeah, I mostly just use gummy bears.
Yeah, no, I love that. I don't think it has to be that specific. Like I said, everybody's fuel, what works best for your body is so different for everybody. And if you look at the nutrition facts on a lot of those candies and like baby food, like you said, I know people will do like applesauce pouches too and stuff like that. It's really similar to what we get from those gels anyways. So yeah, I think that's great. Cool. And then my last question for you, I normally just ask generally what advice you have, but I think since you have such a unique journey in your sobriety and falling in love with running and using it as a tool, I'd like to ask maybe more specifically for your sobriety journey, what advice would you give to somebody who's gone through something similar to what you went through?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing they say, even like on my Instagram and YouTube and stuff, is like, we can do it. Like, you can do it. Like I said, I didn't know a way out 13 months ago. It's like 421 days ago. I didn't know a way out. Like I thought the only way out was, you know, to end it all. But I realized that there is so many resources out there for us, for anyone struggling with anything. I mean, yeah, you can be struggling with addiction, mental health. I mean, you know, everything. I mean, I just want people to feel good, to be honest with you. I did not feel good. I went to my first, you know, meeting in the program's recovery, and a guy just said, if you don't feel good, say you don't feel good. And that's what I've lived by now. I'm like, man, I don't feel good. And some days I don't feel good. I put it out there. Like, you know, yeah, I have a bad day too. And like, I have, you know, a lot going on over the past, you know, year. Like, I've lost a lot of loved ones, and like, but instead of going back to that old way, you know, instead of using that as an excuse to, you know, relapse or use drugs or alcohol, or, you know, I was able to look at what I have and just honestly be grateful for where I'm at. So, I mean, advice to other people is like, know there's resources out there. People do care. Like, there's strangers all around the world that actually care about you. Like, the world, and what's going on in the world in general is crazy. I mean, it's hard. Life is not easy, you know, but there are so many people that care about you, and there's so many ways to get help and get healthy. And like I said, if it's to you walking a block, good, go walk the block. That's amazing. I'm not going to tell you go hard, you know, carry the boats, carry the logs. You're not doing it right. Like, that's your boat and log. My boat and log was, you know, the trail right outside this window, walking and running it. And it turned into what it turned into now, you know, and that's only by, you know, honestly, this, you know, getting out there and listening to others and being grateful for what I have. So, I mean, I just, like I said, I just want everyone to just to know that people care about you, that, you know, body movement is huge, whether it's 1 mile, 50 miles, 100 miles, like, you know, a Pilates class, you know, whatever, just do whatever to get active, to get out there, to get, even to get in nature, like listen to the birds chirp. Like, it's an awesome life. I mean, it's going to be hard. Things are rough. You might feel like it, but there is hope out there. It does get better.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for also being just open and honest and just, yeah, detailed about your journey. I think that this is something that could be very impactful for a lot of people. So I appreciate you walking through all that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that's the only way you can get better. You know, I held so much in for so long and tried to do it my own way, and I didn't listen to others. You know, that's the only, you know, people can connect, hopefully, with my story, anyone's story, or anyone, you know, even what you do here, like connecting first time marathoners or first, like, they might not be running their first marathon, but they might say, oh, you know, maybe I can go run a mile. Oh, on Taylor's podcast, she had the not, you know, the unrealistic runner on. She's out there killing it. Like, that's awesome. Like, I think it's amazing that people go out and crush 1 mile or they run, you know, sub 3 hour marathons. Like, it's, to me, it's amazing. Yeah.
And what you're anyone doing. Can do it.
Yeah, anyone can do it. Like, it's just, you know, if it takes you 3 hours or it takes you 12 hours, well, you did it. It's awesome.
You did it. That's exactly right. Yeah, 26 miles, no matter if you run it, like you said, in 3 hours or you run it in 12 hours, it's the same distance no matter what. Yeah. So
everyone gets the same medal.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I love it. Well, cool. Well, if anybody wants to follow along with you, I know you've got YouTube and you've got Newly on Instagram as well. So where can they find you if they want to follow along?
Yeah. So like I said, on YouTube, it's Sober Dad Run. Same thing on Instagram. I'm newer to the Instagram thing. Only been out there a couple months. And YouTube, I've been putting videos out since like January. Like I said, I am no influencer, no running influencer, no sobriety influencer. I just document my own journey, and I want to show people what's possible by doing the work, you know, the work in recovery, the work in running, the work as a dad, you know, and some of this stuff is normal to people. Some people are like, oh, you went to your kid's soccer game. Like, you know, yeah, for the normal people it is, but for people battling addiction or any, you know, depression or any kind of mental health thing, it's like, I mean, it's a big deal, like, because I chose not to do that stuff before. I chose not to be a good father and a good husband. And I let, you know, alcohol and stuff like that dictate my life. So now I want to show people, like, hey, like, I'm not doing that. Like, yeah, I don't, I'm not going to tell you to go run a sub 3 hour marathon, but I'm really, you know, I want to show you, like, I'm on this journey and follow along with me.
Yeah. I love that. So cool. And I'll link your links to your YouTube and your Instagram in the show notes as well, so people can find you. But really looking forward to seeing how the Marine Corps marathon works out for you. I know you're nervous, but it sounds like you're ready. So looking forward to seeing that. And thank you so much again for coming on and talking to us this weekend.
Cool. Thank you, Taylor. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.